Welcome back. Welcome back to Greenbox Gaming. I'm your handler today, Brad. Joined by my three great friends, Joe playing Axel.
Ooh, give him the juice.
Jean playing Herbert.
Hello.
And again. Dace playing Alice.
Pokemon.
Sorry, we were singing the Pokemon theme song in the break because it came up again.
I might be getting my wires crossed, but I was about to say to you about that. A backup singer for Michael Jackson, I think, did that song.
Really?
Really?
I can't remember if it was that or the Power Rangers song, and he did it in like one night.
It was the Power Rangers.
It was the Power Rangers.
You've told
Rangers
me this before.
Song.
Oh, okay. It was Power Rangers theme song.
You know,
Mighty Morphin Power Rangers, to be specific.
You want to know something else that's fascinating that was done by one person in one night? You know the in Skyrim, the dragon language?
Hmm.
So the story I saw, and, you know, citation needed, was that basically they were like, oh, we need this dragon language, and, like, one of the, like, lead designers basically went home that night and just, like, got
so
kind of liquored
drugs.
Up.
Yeah.
And just, like, got drunk and, like,
invented
made the entire language
that.
In one night. Like, the written language on, you know, like, all the shouting walls and whatnot.
That's awesome. Oh,
okay.
Yeah.
Oh, like that script.
Yeah.
Like the how script. The script... Gotcha. Cool.
That's cool.
Which is wild.
Still my favorite game of all time.
Massive citation needed on that, by the way. Massive. Mm-hmm.
We should probably talk about Skyrim more on this podcast.
We should. Yeah. People love it. You know what the people...
I don't think
you know
the people know about Skyrim.
Tired of?
Has anyone heard of this game, by the way?
It's a little game. I don't know if you've heard about it.
Indie developer Bethesda?
Bethesda? They'll never last.
They're Swedish?
They're Swedes. I...
No, did you have a...
No, like, well, last time, you know, we were talking about the Pokemon song. You know, there was a... I went to, like, a pub trivia thing this last week. And there was a song, like, in the background after we were done trivia. And I was like, man, what is that song? Like, it sounds so familiar. And I could barely hear it. Just, like, in the... But I was able to get, you know, like, what was it? Like, I was able to, you know, get Shazam to work or whatever, whoever had their phone. And they were like, oh, yeah, that's Southside by Moby. And I'm like, oh, man. Like, and it's like, so, you know, last episode, I asked you guys...
I haven't heard that name in a while.
Right? I asked you guys, like, you know, oh, like, is there, like, a song you've listened to repeat? All yesterday, I was listening to Southside on Moby, or by Moby, which, like, sounds like a very... It's Moby and Gwen Stefani, and it sounds like a really upbeat song, but the lyrics are not really upbeat. Like, it's actually, like, there's bits about, like, you know, like riding with your friends with your guns, like, with your weapons, and you're just, like going to the South Side and hoping you don't die, and things like that. And it's like, and what I actually ended up doing, I found like a slowed down reverb version of the song, and I was like, this would be a perfect theme song for our Music from a Darkened Room.
Oh, cool.
Like the feel of our Music from a Darkened Room played through.
Oh, that's cool. If only we had some musicians resident to do like a remix.
If only we knew some fucking musicians.
Fuck.
But like, my question to you guys though is, like, I don't know, like, have you ever had like something like that, like a song you've heard that specifically you listen to that you're like, this is the perfect soundtrack for this part of my life or for this thing that's going on? Like I said, I was thinking about Delta Green today or yesterday when I was listening to this. But yeah,
Interesting question.
Obviously, yeah. Jean's life theme song is the Pokemon theme song.
Got it.
For
Got
a variety of reasons.
That's
yeah.
It's about my propensity.
And again, the international courts.
Diseases.
They're gonna get you.
I've got one. Yeah, I'll start. I've got one. It's pretty solid. When we used to go on road trips, think of one road trip in particular, Brad, you and I took with Jake and Chad back in the day. I remember just listening to the song, or it was a Wolf Parade song. It's it's the one that starts off with the discordant keys.
I'll Believe in Anything.
I'll Believe in Anything. That is such a good road trip song.
It is.
It's like the build up and the release is just like so cathartic and freeing, and it's the embodiment of a road trip. Highly encouraged listening. Wolf Parade, I'll Believe in Anything.
It's so good. The also the the music video, a little silly. That's the one where they're shooting the cannons at each other.
Yeah, it's like Victorian times.
Like they start out doing duels with pistols, and then they start dueling with cannons at the end.
Shit, I don't know if I've ever seen the music video.
You should watch it.
Look this up.
We were watching it in high school.
That's an interesting one.
I got Alt J, Breeze Blocks, like that entire album, road trip music. Mm. That's a part of my life. That's like a snapshot of my life at that point.
That's like your like long distance traveling theme song is trippy Alt J.
Yeah,
like Tessellate, Breeze Blocks. What is the Fitz? What is it? Fitz Pleasure.
Fitz Pleasure.
Yeah,
I guess I need to dig into some Alt J. I've never really listened to Alt J.
I told you they sound just like that band you like. You disagreed the other night, but I disagreed. You're disagreeing. The Nurses.
So it equals out.
Oh yeah.
Alt J sounds a lot like Nurses.
All right, I'm gonna check it out.
I don't know if I have an answer to your question, but I will tell you this: on the backside of speaking of musicians that you might not have known that did something. So on that road trip, we were like jamming one of those songs from Life Aquatic as well.
Oh, is it the instrumental?
Yeah. One of the members from Devo did all those instrumentals. Like when he's like, let me tell you about my boat and like stuff like that. Whenever there's like stuff like that, it was like one member from Devo orchestrated all those.
Just imagine how does that happen? Like, is someone just like sitting there with a former member of Devo and like, yeah, we're doing this silly movie. Like, he's like, oh, I'd play some music for that.
This guy, Mark, his name's Mark something. He does a lot of other stuff, so he's known, but I think he did some stuff for Rushmore as well.
Mark Mothersbaugh?
Yeah. He's a member of Devo, and he does like soundtracking like that.
Yeah.
I think Wes Anderson, the director of Life Aquatic, is just a big fan of Mark Mothersbaugh and Devo.
Gotcha. So
that's how that would happen. I also have, you brought up, are you going to give another example? Or is that your example?
It was specifically, I was like, because I was originally thinking, I'm like, oh man, that would kind of be like a good theme song for almost like for Impossible Landscapes. But because of the like 1920s feel of a lot of the stuff, I was like, nah, it doesn't fit. But it does fit kind of like these, again, like I found, like I said, I need to send it to you, like this like slow down reverb version of Southside.
Be interested to hear it.
Yeah. But well, no, that was what I had. But you were going to talk about Moby?
Yeah, I'll try to keep this concise. there's a podcast called Heavyweight where the host seeks out people with problems and he tries to resolve those problems. And one of his friends, he's just like this cantankerous dude that used to live with Moby. And okay. He had a big record collection. And you know that song, Green Salad Up, Green Salad Down? It was a slave song, if I remember right. And Moby heard that while he was staying with his friend. So then the friend, then Moby, you know, took that and made that song out of it and never acknowledged the friend that he heard the record from.
Harsh. I'd be so pissed.
So this friend, it's like a chip on his shoulder for years and years. So the host of the podcast reached out to Moby and him and his friend actually went out to L.A. to Moby's house
to get like down a formal a conversation hug or something.
And it was so, so awkward. Well, like, it was like pulling teeth.
Why did he agree to it if he didn't want it? Like, he had to know what was going on.
But that's kind of weird. I mean, to be like, oh, I heard this song while I was hanging out with you. And like, and you heard the song while you were hanging out with me. You never acknowledged me.
Thank
you.
Oh, I think I assumed he helped him with the song.
No. He just sampled the record that the guy owned.
Oh, so like, the guy owned the record. Okay, well, yeah.
When you say owned a record, as in he has a copy of the record at his house.
Yeah. I thought you yes, meant. Exactly. I thought you meant.
Did not own the music.
Yeah. He helped him with the remix. I thought that's what you're getting.
Didn't help him with the remix.
It seems a bit much.
But in his mind, it's like, he would not have heard this without me.
That's a bit much.
And then,
yeah,
the song was like his meteoric rise to the pinnacle of his stardom. So it's just really the whole.
Fascinating.
Also, listen to heavyweight podcast.
Let's not become
Gimlet
friends like that.
Media.
We need to become better friends.
Not defunct.
Better friends.
Say thanks to each other.
Speaking of good friends.
Good friends. Just a bunch of good friends hanging out.
Alice, Herbert, and Axel friends now?
Doubt it.
Well, there's definitely some trauma bonding.
Oh, yeah. It's the best kind of bonding.
And
you heard it here first, folks. And that's endorsed by a real-life psychiatrist.
I am not a psychiatrist. I am not licensed. Do not listen to me.
Where are you getting the pills you give me?
I'm going to be in John's boat before long.
On the run.
On the run.
On the lamb.
In my actual boat.
John's literal boat.
Because that's on the international waters, man. That's where I'm
He's
aiming.
Broadcasting from international waters.
International
right
waters. Sudanese anything pirates. Goes, man.
Well, y'all definitely went through some trauma, so if you didn't bond after this last hellish trauma, I don't know what kind of trauma would bond you. I won't go through a complete recap because we did a bigger recap last session. But basically, you're still in the middle of this creature, this half-owl, half-who-knows-what, slimy, featherless, attacking you. Thought you were about to get away from it, but at the last second of the beginning, last session's combat, Axel decides to push it, shoot it again, shoots it out of the air, but before that, Herbert wants to run away from it, maybe in panic. I think he was in search of a crowbar for some reason. He runs into the garage. The garage shuts behind him, pitch black. His phone doesn't work. He's trying to navigate his way through his house while Axel shoots this thing. He goes behind the bush where he shot this thing out of the air, this owl, and mutated owl. And he finds a normal owl. And at that, you pick it up, throw it into the back of the van. It transmutates again. You'll kind of deduce maybe it's something to do with the property. Once you get from a certain vicinity from this house, whatever's going on kind of stops. You end up killing it. But at the same time, Herbert is trapped in the house again. He's smelling gas in the garage. He's suffocating. He has to bust through that. Get to the kitchen. He has visions of he's like got to the kitchen, but then all of a sudden he doesn't know what he's doing. He's washing his hands, washing dishes. Hears voices from the main room asking him to come see the mirrors. Runs through the house. Y'all try to get him out of the house. The door shuts. They're banging on the house. Axel finally jams open the door. He runs outside, and y'all have gotten away from the house by the skin of your teeth.
And we are heading out of town.
Heading out of town with this owl creature, but as you get away from the house, it evolves again to this normal, seemingly normal looking owl, dead, you know, like it was shot, buckshot by now. It's got pieces of it missing, hole in its little head, and that is where we're going to pick up. I mean, remind me of the mechanics of this, Joe, because y'all spent all night at this house, so you're going to have to take something for loss of sleep.
So traditionally, you can do one night without sleep.
Okay,
before it starts to become a problem.
Okay. Wasn't this the second night for Alice?
No, this is your first night without rest. but you have not had rest the entire night, we're going to say, because it was early in the morning when y'all woke up.
I think there's definitely, we're going to have to pay that piper at some point.
But, I mean, it's daylight now. You can see the rising sun. It's maybe 6:30 a.m., bright and early, and y'all are heading away from town. Pick up there.
So, yeah, we're driving out of town. Axel's at
Credence
the wheel.
Is playing.
What?
Credence. Yeah.
Like Clearwater? Like Fortunate Brown Sun? Down. Like, what are we talking?
Yeah, Fortunate Sun's going. Like, yeah.
Gross.
The sun rising.
After we just, like, Axel fingers. Axel is going to eject the CD and is going to throw it out the window.
Wasn't there a cut scene with Axel and he was playing some song in Impossible Landscapes?
It was so
God, yeah, it was. It I was can't so remember what
poppy.
It was, though.
It's like Kylie Minogue or something. Celine Dion. Celine Dion.
No, that was the bit. It wasn't Axel. It was when you guys were in Vegas you were trying to drive and you were failing. My critical fail for you was that you picked up a CD and put it in instead of being something that was really upbeat. It was My Heart Goes On or something like that. Anyway.
Anyway.
Detour. What's the situation with our Herbert? You doing all right?
Yeah, I forgot to get my hit points back from that first aid, if any.
So last session, I actually rolled and got a success on the first aid, but we had to steamroll over it for narrative purposes.
Yeah.
I'm looking at the rules for healing. Resuscitation, that wouldn't apply. Stabilization, would that apply here? It says first aid test.
No, I don't think so.
1d4 HP. So then there's treatment, which is surgery / medicine.
I'd say it's that.
Test
per week. Or it might be stabilization because that's the first aid one. Okay. No, you're right. You're right. It is stabilization. You would be, you would heal 1d4 of damage.
Yeah. I would like to roll first aid. I passed this, the test for Herbert.
I got one hit point back.
Wait.
Done.
So you have your full health now?
I'm full health. Taking Alice's pass, I rolled a 1d4. Got my hit point.
Okay.
Let me roll a first aid. Oh, God.
And do you have, and you have equipment to do first aid, right?
If I remember right, yeah, first responder med kit. I got it on armor and gear. So let me roll a first aid for Axel.
Yeah, and also you can take a plus 20 because you have the kit.
Oh, cool.
Oh, badass.
That's cool.
Although we aren't,
for some reason, like guaranteed success.
Well, it doesn't matter. It's a success anyway.
All right. Do you want to roll that for me, please? You're the healing.
1d4.
Yeah. This is some kind of weirdly
it's only one.
Sexy
one
thing
back.
Happening where Alice is behind him while he's driving and like patting down
like,
the scratches
I'm driving,
on his,
and she's
on his
like,
chest.
Yeah, and she's like...
like applying the... Yeah,
she... I just...
Axel. I did not know that you shave your chest hair.
It's actually a complete necessity. Otherwise, I can't put clothes on. It's wild.
It is that dense, you say?
It's
you are such a man.
It's you trust me. It's not nice. It's not what you think.
Herbert is awkwardly looking at his fingers like stubbornly reattached with duct tape. I assume.
Right.
While this is going
on, I actually
don't
know how much damage I took. Previously, I never didn't write down. I think I took three. Okay, yeah, that's right. So
three.
Okay. We need to.
As far as your fingers go,
we need to find somewhere. Can you sew them things back on, or do we got to go somewhere?
I would need a lab. I cannot do this with the supplies that I have.
Guys, I would not usually say this, but right now I don't care about my fingers. Right now, is it gonna change back? Can we just put it in a dustbin, please? For the love of all things that are holy.
Alice, can you, like, twist that thing in half or something?
Just snap its neck. Or two pieces distinct from each other?
Yes. I think we're good, but okay. Herbert, it would make Herbert feel better.
I don't, yeah.
Yeah, just snaps on some neoprene gloves and I guess gets in the back and twists this owl in half.
But then it keeps turning because it's an owl, so the neck just like keeps turning. Right, just screws like a corkscrew on a wine bottle.
It's just taking a while.
You pick up this owl, I mean, as I said, it looks like it was shot with buckshot. I mean, it's completely destroyed, just like dead meat at this point. I guess you keep trying to break its neck. You would say it's definitely dead. I mean, right. There's nothing there.
Hey, Herbert. Quick question. Apropos of nothing. Your DNA in any, I don't know, federal law enforcement systems? What do you think? Because, okay, let me put it this way. If it's not, it's going to be when they go to that house.
Yeah, I don't think so. I've got some history, but that was all like some white collar stuff. I don't think anybody took samples from me when they checked me in.
Yeah, so we're driving, the sun's coming up, and he's like, all right,
you
guys.
To tell you what you got on, you still have Yamil Isri's diary that you found in the house.
Yeah.
Just from a brief look through, you think this is going to, you see that it's in Arabic. So this is going to take about an hour's worth of study to do that. I guess we can. Yeah. It's going to take everyone about an hour. I mean, I guess I want to give Herbert something because he's like computer savvy. I know ChatGPT wasn't around then.
There might be an early language model that he knows about, right?
Yeah, that maybe you could get it done faster, Herbert, with your computer skills. But everybody has access to Google Translate, you know?
Right.
Mm. All right.
But it's not as simple as copy and pasting. I mean, this is handwritten.
We need to make a decision right now. Are we going a few towns over and saying that our boy here cut his fingers off with a bandsaw?
Yes, of course. He is a master woodworker.
Well, he's not. That's how this happened.
I was learning.
That is a fair point.
I was learning.
Say that. When they ask you what happened, say that.
They are going up a town over.
Yeah, so we need to do that.
Community college was that.
We can go to Ruffle. And also, we need to call Summers.
Actually, we should go and see Emil, and ask him why he was in the house. So
fingers first.
Fingers next to the. I'm sure there's a hospital next to the university.
Right there.
Go and see Emil. Phone Summers.
So we have a few priorities. Fingers first, for sure. Got to get those bad boys reattached. The van now has shotgun holes in it. If we encounter law enforcement, that's going to be hard to explain. Mm-hmm. So we need to get rid of it and get a new rental vehicle. And then the translation of the diary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, I don't know. I'm hoping it's not going to be a big deal. I mean, it probably is hard to explain it away. But we also are all federal law enforcement. I don't know, the van is not that big of a priority for me, personally.
Okay.
I figure we can just skip over the whole finger reattachment thing.
It is definitely... The van is definitely a priority before we go back to town. Because if someone heard gunshots and we show up with a van with a gunshot hole in it, you know, that doesn't take the best investigator in the world. So, but right now we're going to go to a hospital and get Herbert's fingers put back.
It was called Fulton, was the community college town.
Fulton, yeah, was the town. Or was the college. I don't know if that's the name of the town or not.
I don't think it's
Fulton College.
We'll just say it's in Fulton. We're going to Fulton.
And you said you want to try to call Summers on the way?
Yeah, we will put it on speakerphone.
Put it on speakerphone. If you remember correctly, you threw your old phone in the toilet.
Yes.
And what was handed to you was this
phone. I forgot about that.
A magazine that said Summer Sale. Yeah. Opened it up. This was before you met, went to find Allison. It was like, you know, had lot, and the when you opened it up, it had a cell phone, similar cell phone. Opened it and it's, you know, had words underlined like your skincare compromised? You know, seemed to be some sort of message.
Very, very on the nose. I could tell Summers is a real professional.
You open it and it's the same kind of coded thing that you had. It's only one number in it.
Okay.
Bought again. It's like 7, 5, 5, 9. Then it's like static. 8, 9. You know, just like a very, like this recorded voice over in between static playing. Maybe some, like, it almost sounds like it's changing the radio. Maybe you hear like some music in the static and then more numbers. And it just does this on repeat. There's no visible connection without you, someone sitting down and trying to figure this out.
Are those numbers you gave us actual numbers, or are you just saying
I'm just saying something.
Okay. Okay. So this does not seem to actually fuck me. I destroyed the phone that had was our connection to Summers.
Mm-hmm.
And now we have this phone that I'm thinking is not from Summers.
Everybody do an alertness. This phone is going while you're listening to this coded message.
Oops.
Success for Alice.
I did an athletics one moment, sorry.
Wow.
He just did somersaults in the back.
Just he just does 50 push-ups.
I failed.
That is going to increase the blood flow, Herbert. That is
no, no, I read about this. It's fine. I just have to do knuckle push-ups.
It's fine. All right, Axel succeeded.
Failure.
And Alice did.
Alice, who's driving?
Axel.
Axel's driving. Alice, both of y'all almost immediately, maybe you have more of, you have your mirrors in front of you, rearview mirrors and whatnot. Maybe Herbert can't see it as well, but it almost immediately when you start to play this message, you see a side road, some guy on a rocket, all in black, helmet, you can't see his face, black leather jacket, and pull up, you know, he's following you for a good while, and Axel might notice what's odd is he's staying completely in your blind spot the entire time he's following.
Like he's close enough to touch the van?
Yeah, and he's staying in the blind spot.
Axel, he puts the pistol on his lap. He's like, I think we've got a problem. He's gonna. So Axel rides without a seatbelt, and he's gonna click his seatbelt. He's gonna strap in.
Click it or dig it.
And smart. As soon as these guys stop, he's like the left side blind spot. Axel is going to jack the wheel to the left and slam on the brakes.
Oh, shit.
Wow.
Let's do a drive. There's one really good way to figure out what's going on with this guy.
Yeah, smash him to him.
Let's roll a drive check.
A drive test? Okay.
And we're going to do his drive test against yours. This will determine what happens.
Axel is surprisingly good at driving. Axel's got a 50.
Ooh. Ouch.
That's a failure. A 95.
Something happens. Maybe you jerk it. Maybe you didn't get quite the right amount of speed before you jerk it. I mean, it's a van. You know, how much horsepower can this have? And he's on a crotch rock, so he's able to, you know, outmaneuver you. He backs up. You know, he puts on his brakes. And soon after doing that, he just whirs around you and speeds off.
License plate.
What the fuck?
Sure. You want to take note of the license plate?
Yes.
It seems to be a local license plate from Meadowbrook. Could do a, you know, get Herbert or...
One of them to write it down.
Something to check it later.
I don't like that. Did you see that, Alice?
Yeah. Who could that possibly be? Is it somebody from the organization?
He is going to... Axel's eyes kind of get wide, and he makes a signal, like, for Herbert or whoever it was who was writing it down to give him the pen and the paper. And he's going to write down, they might have tagged the van. Like, he's going to write, like, on the steering wheel as he's driving, they might have tagged the van.
What does that mean?
Tracker? Axel. Question mark?
Axel, what does that mean? What are you writing? What do you mean? Why are we writing and not talking?
And Alice will, like, nudge him in the ribs and be like, "Oh."
Like, I don't think a bug would actually be able to hear inside, but he's still going to be like, he's like,
"Looks like we need some gas before we let's get some gas real quick."
And he's going to pull over.
Pull over. Bolton isn't that far away. Maybe you're right outside of town by this formal gas station, modern gas station.
Crotch rocket sitting in the parking lot.
You do not see the motorcycle.
Alice will crawl under the undercarriage and do a search.
Success.
16, success.
Search under the car. No, it's a big car, but you do a pretty thorough search. You're not being, not on any time frame, so you take your time. You're pretty sure on the car.
Okay.
Can I check that phone, Axel?
Oh, yeah. Here, take this.
That's a government-approved tracking device right there. I don't know if you know this.
Oh, yeah, I guess so.
Can I, I don't know, can I debug that phone? Can I run a SIGINT and see if there's something weird happening there?
When the player bleeds over into the character.
Brad, can I run something to check if the phone is maybe tampered with? Maybe it's tracking us. It's a failure.
Nothing on the hardware seems out of.
Yes, yeah, like all said, shit.
I mean, that is.
But this code is keeps spilling out of it, right?
Yeah. When you call the number, that the only number that's in there, it just shoots out this code.
All right. We gotta find a way to get back in contact with Summers. I fucked up. I destroyed the phone.
Can I do something else?
It happens.
I've got a
it's chaos.
I've got a hacker as one of my bonds. Can I phone my hacker friend and get them to look into this number?
Yeah.
All right. What I guess I'm trying to figure out if there's some kind of a code happening.
Okay. So you want to put this person on it?
Yeah.
Instead of wasting your time with trying to...
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
And what, maybe... Maxi is just a bond. Luck roll at this point. I don't know if there's anything more to do.
You're just going to call up Maxi and give her this number?
Yeah, Maven... No, okay, he wouldn't be stupid enough to use the phone to call her. But...
Probably have some. Don't you have your laptop with like a SAT connect and stuff like that?
Yeah.
So maybe you send her an encrypted email or something like that.
Yeah.
You text out a phone number. You give her the details. Who was this person to you? She's just a
Maxi,
hacker friend.
One of the hacker bonds. Yeah.
Okay. A few minutes go by and she says, "Sure. Yeah, I'll take a look into it. Get back to you when I know something."
Cool.
Okay.
Axel, I delegated. You should learn a thing about delegation.
I Yeah, I really hope that doesn't draw them into a web of conspiracy and insanity and death. That will overall, in the long term, weigh on your conscience and change everything about the people you hold close. But don't worry about it. I'm sure it's fine. Good managerial skills.
Just trying to help here, Axel. No need to be snide.
I was just stressed out. And like, and Axel's like, now that he saw that person on the bike, he's like, it's just like, let's get Hairpin's fucking fingers back. And while they're sewing those on, why don't me and you take a look at this journal?
Yes, I'm frantically Googling to try to see how to literally reattach fingers. And it looks like there is a 12-hour window. You need to get immediate medical care if you've cut off a finger. If fingers have separated from the body for more than 12 hours, they usually cannot be put back on.
All right. Well, we're within like an hour or so still, so...
I don't know how long I was washing those dishes for.
We go to the little ED here in town.
Cool.
You get there, everything's... They process Herbert... He's in the waiting room, and at the same time, Alice and Axel are going to be trying to decipher this.
Yeah, I don't know if we need to go in, you know?
So how about this, just to keep it fun, maybe this finger attachment is has to do with how professional Alice was with keeping these... fingers on ice, taking every precaution necessary.
It just turns out she's put them in ice cream, like
just like little
ice.
Flakies on either side of this.
Classic mistake, mistaking ice for ice cream.
Roll a medical roll for each finger.
Are you serious?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Okay. A first aid roll.
Whatever you want to do.
Medicine.
Yeah, is that your medicine? First aid. I'll give the choice.
Trust me, John. You want first aid.
First aid's good. One each.
Nice.
All right. Here's first. Success. 49 under 80.
All right.
Here's the second.
Success.
Hey. 12 under 80.
It looks like everything's right, going well. Herbert lets you know that he'll be out soon. Thanks. Everything looks like it's going to be connected okay.
Do you need any more health back, or are you already full up?
That's fine.
All right.
How's everybody looking on sanity?
Axel
Alice is fine. She's rock solid.
Axel nice. Is good. Not doing super well. Axel's out actually kind of close to a breaking point. He's at 59. Oh. His breaking point's 56.
Okay.
What about Herbert?
He's doing fine still. He's at like 12 above.
All right. While he's in there having surgery done, y'all sink your teeth into Isri's diary, and you just learn. You know, it goes back further than the house. So y'all kind of, I've already put the general brief view of Isri's diary in Arabic. You've studied it for about an hour. Small journal filled with 57 pages of cramped writing. Yamil Isri's recollection in the house included visions of a dead little boy, continued dreams of an old woman, and two terrifying dreams of a different woman trapped behind the glass in the master bedroom. Near the end of Isri's sleep, she starts sleeping in the den and avoided the master bedroom. The last entry in the diary reads, "I understand now why I'm here. I'm home." This is the woman that owned the house directly before Arthur Dunley died. She died in the exact same way. She slit her throat in the master bedroom. Ruled suicide.
Okay.
After this, I'm going to just hand this over to y'all. I mean, you have her diary. Y'all have you've got a list of everyone who owned the house. We are going to just, you know, I would assume you'd look up more about her after this. So we're going to give you a scoop on her.
Great.
And copy and paste. So what's everyone thinking about that?
dreams of an old woman. I'm wondering if the old woman is
Knocked, right?
Elizabeth Knocked.
Elizabeth Knocked, the woman who
had the terminal illness that her husband was trying to
cure. The Wheelers. Wheeler Knocked after she married, but originally Isabel Wheeler, sorry. It's Isabel, not Elizabeth.
Isabel?
Yeah, I'm wondering if it was her, if there's some other old woman, of a woman trapped behind glass. Did anyone go missing that we know of? Or hell, is that her?
You know, it's in Arabic, so it's kind of hard to decipher. Is this the same woman? Are they two different women?
And then she basically, and then something snapped in her.
I'm gonna just go ahead and say that Herbert is back in the car with them, and I guess we're all together again.
Well, like after an hour, they can probably.
Yeah, you have all your fingers.
Herbert comes in. He's only on a few pain medications.
Yeah, it's like, oh, he's Alice, good thank as you so much. They said that you did a great job, and I'm good as new. I can type.
That's what I do.
What do the timelines look like for this Yamila Zahri?
You look back, it seems that she owned the house from 2015 to 2016. Present day is 2018.
And when did Anton die?
Anton died years ago.
I don't know
ago.
If you know.
Way back.
You have the Tura family history, so.
Okay.
It's 66.
Okay.
You kind of, now that Herbert's here, you can do more research. You find Yamila Isri was a recent transplant to Meadowbrook from the United Arab Emirates. The daughter of a wealthy family, Isri was seen and fallen in love with the house while on break from the state university. For a year, she obsessed about the house, even making Andrea Falcone, the former owner, an outrageous offer of the cash for it. 2014, Falcone suffocated in the upstairs room, and the house went on market. Isri purchased it that year and moved in immediately following graduation. Isri spent two months in frantic decoration, which involved heavy spending in local antique store shops. She became a bit of a famous figure in the area. Then suddenly she became a recluse. She was discovered dead on November 14, 2016, her throat cut in a manner consistent with a straight razor. Coroner estimated the death had occurred a few days.
Oh, God.
When we hear about this suffocation thing, does Hairpin tell us about what he experienced in the garage?
Yeah. At that point? I heard a man's voice telling me to come and get back into the bedroom. It was a little creepy. It sounded a little bit like Axel.
He specifically says something about mirrors, right?
He's like, come look at the mirrors.
And this might be weird after all you've done for me, Alice, but do you still have that weird fucking razor that you picked up from the counter?
He does.
Can we...
Yes, I have it here.
Get rid of it, please.
Say that again?
Can we get rid of it? Can we just throw it out, please? I don't want somebody's throat slit razor with us while we're figuring this out.
If it makes you more comfortable, yes, we can throw it away. But I don't think it is a danger. I think the house is the danger.
But it's not just the house. This creature... It's in the front yard, and Anton Tour too. We were across the street. We weren't even on the property. This is not just the house. Yeah, the house is at the center of it, holds all of it. That's not just it. This fucking bird. I assume at this point it's just like been stuck in like a an Arby's bag or something. It's like,
shut up.
Like this bird, I don't know what's going on here, guys. We have got to get back a hold of Summers. I'm thinking about reaching out to my people, my contacts, see if they can backdoor us to Summers.
I think that's a good idea, but didn't you guys also say that some weird stuff went down in the desert? So I don't know if it's just localized to the house. I don't want these things following us around.
I want to know. Look, maybe I'm just a rude asshole driver to motorcyclist, you know? But this fucking guy, the one on the bike, it freaked me out.
Let's look up the number plate.
Yeah, and he died from drowning in the toilet, supposedly. Also, and so we're like in the van, and he's like, you know, one of us did go there at night while they were sleeping.
I don't know what you're talking about.
We need to contact higher on this. I'm inclined. God, if we just burn down the house, we don't know if we fixed it.
Brad, can I reach out to my Delta Green handler and basically ask to be put in contact with Summers?
Yeah, is this like a bond?
Yes, one of my bonds is my Delta Green handler.
Okay. You can reach out to them. Some kind of coded message, I guess. So it's just not.
Yeah, he'll pull out his, you know, his like his encrypted phone that he uses for his federal work, and is gonna shoot. What's her name? Agent Natalie Doverson. He's gonna shoot her a message. And basically like, hey, I need to get in charge with this, because she knows I came on mission for this. And I'm like, I've lost contact with our handler for this operation, this agent Summers. I need you to arrange a meeting for us, or something, or at least get him back in contact with me. You know, I can contact him on this encrypted device or something like that, right?
Yeah, she'll shoot you back a text, basically saying, you know how compartmentalized those situations are, but I'm going to do my best.
Okay, that's as good as it fucking gets.
We need an occult expert. Like, we need a Benji in this case. I wonder if we can contact the organization and, like...
Probably not, huh? I say we get back a hold of... We let Summers run that down for us. But in the meantime, we do have another quote-unquote occultic person that we need to check in on. Just at least lay eyes on him.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's go check out
Emil. So we're headed to Emil Yarrow?
Yeah.
Say it's about 8:30 to 9. Find your way on campus of... Manage to track him down, and you just see him. He's in the middle of a lecture teaching undergrads.
Okay. Do we actually want to talk to this guy, or...
Yes.
Was he actually there at the house when we saw him, or is that an illusion?
I don't know.
We need to find out.
So what are you doing?
I guess we can just wait for him to get done. And just be kind of
sit at the back of his lecture. Walk into the lecture hall, yeah.
And sit in the back?
As he's lecturing, sit in the back and just stare at him while he's lecturing.
We can. I think that'd be hilarious.
Why not?
Yeah, so we... And when Axel opens the door, he opens it like too fast and too hard, so everyone turns.
Sees this motley ass crew walking in.
Well, I can imagine. He just saw us. He just saw us less than 24 hours ago. Like, I was wearing a different shirt. Like, we're bedraggled. We haven't rested. And one of us has a big bandage around two of his fingers.
He sees y'all come in. He's like, that'll be it for today, everybody. Remember the assignment, and I'll meet you here on, what's the day? A Monday? Or is it Sunday? It has to be a weekday. We'll say it's Monday. I'll meet you here on Wednesday. Thank you again. You see students leave the door. Fellas, didn't expect to see you so soon. Are you ready for my expertise on the matter?
Where the hell were you last night?
At my house?
Can I do a humint on that?
Humint.
Alice will also roll.
Everyone's just scanning at him. We're scanning him like one of those things at the airport that they put you in, and you have your hands up, except we're just scanning his body language and everything about him.
Okay. Herbert has no
critical
idea.
Critical success for
wow.
Axel.
Oh, boom, nice. Tell.
So I'd also like to know what scent he is wearing.
Alice, you know, Herbert's still a little daisy from his finger missing. He's been knocked up with meds not too long ago. Alice, you can see, you know, that he has a shirt tucked in. He looks very professional today. And Axel can definitely see. I mean, he looks like he's had a shower and everything.
He's had a full night's sleep. Yeah, he wasn't running around in a cult house all night.
Right. So he looks to be doing a lot better than you guys are. But, I mean, he kind of looks at Herbert's hand. He's like, shut the door. Kind of easy to shut. He's, where have you been last night? You fellas seem to be, sound rude, but a little worse from where? From last night, or yesterday afternoon, rather.
How do we even start?
Axel is going to turn, look at these guys, and raise an eyebrow, like, what do we... What we did last night is official business that you do not need to be privy to for your own safety. I hope you understand.
So that's why you interrupted my lecture to tell me you did something last night that I should know about for my own safety?
No, we interrupted your lecture to ask you the question that we asked. Listen, I'm going to give you my phone number, okay? This is a private, secure line. You understand? It's not for you to call me and chat. If anyone comes talking to you, asking about this house, or asking about us, you let me know immediately. You understand?
Roll A. I'm sorry, charisma.
How about a persuade?
Persuade, yeah.
That's a failure. I'm going to push it.
With what?
Mm.
It's our homebrew rule, right? Willpower.
Oh, are we not doing that?
Oh, yeah, we can do
that. The homebrew rule? Yeah. Okay. I'm going to roll my d4. I'm going to burn 4 willpower. Wow.
Christ. Okay.
That hurts.
And I'm going to re-roll that. If it goes bad, it goes really bad. Oh, I got a fumble.
Really, really, really bad.
What's your willpower at, Axel?
Oh, my willpower's at 8. I'm still fine for the time being.
Okay.
That's really bad.
I just fumbled on the push. which like is already fumble. Supposed to be bad.
I know so this
you automatically so you automatically lose the willpower, right?
Yeah. So this is the part. This is where the character bends over and spreads his butt cheeks for for the handler to just absolutely just get in there and just just wreck him.
Phenomenal.
So what'd you say exactly to him?
I think I just tried to threaten him. I was like, and if one fucking peep comes out of your stupid fat face, I will come down here and I will burn this stupid little podunk like college professor wannabe bullshit to the ground. And he just goes way too far, you know.
And Alice just kind of side eyes Herbert like.
Yeah, Herbert actually like chuckles a little bit under his breath.
As you do this, you don't realize you're like word vomiting. You know, you're in control at the beginning of this, but then you just continue to you start to worm vomit, and you know you're just rattling off. You start to have.
We know you were there at the fucking house. We saw you with the owl and with the gas smell and the secret notebook in Arabic and all that. Like, we know we saw you there.
You start to see, you know, you start to sweat. I would imagine Alice and Herbert are like, okay, it's been a long night, but, you know, calm down. You start keep saying it, and you're starting to have your heartbeat thumps faster and faster. Very similar to the panic attack you had before entering the house, and your vision goes blurry, and like looking out behind him, there's a window, and you can see this old, you know, an old woman crossing the courtyard in the campus behind there, and she just like turns and looks at you, and begins to smile. Roll for sanity.
Oh my god! Fucking god.
That's so creepy.
That was.
Yep. That's about right.
About right.
That's about right. That's a success. 3159.
You only take one sanity loss.
Great. Brilliant.
All right. That's the scene, and, you know, Bill's like, all right, take it easy. I told you I'm on your side. I'll do anything I want to help. Come on. I mean...
As Axel is like, he writes down the number, and he's like sweating, and he kind of like pushes past these other two, and like goes out in the hallway, and is like leaning over, like buckled over.
Herbert just looks at Alice for like how to wrap this up with this guy that's just been threatened by our colleague.
You just finger guns at him on your way out. Just
cool.
Hey.
Cool. Yeah, the finger guns, exactly, on the way out. And then Alice, like, walks over to Axel and, like, sort of, like, checks his pulse and, like, Axel, what the fuck was that? Are you okay?
And he's remembering.
You see students passing the hall, and they're all, like, kind of staring at you. You know, you're already an odd bunch, but now you're basically dry heaving, maybe just trying to keep it together in the hallway.
He grabs Alice, like, he, like, grabs her, not, like, grabs her aggressively, like, he, like, grabs her, pulls her closer, he's like, the journal, the old woman, I saw her, I think I'm contaminated?
The house is in your head.
Fuck.
We need to go.
Just a crowd of students at this point. Kind of like waiting for their classes. Kind of watching it all.
And we...
Let's get out of here.
And we just leave. Yeah.
Push away from the crowd.
Whips out her pistol and says, you did not see any fucking thing.
You didn't see anything. All right, that's probably a good spot.
Yeah, you make your way to your van. Yeah. That is where we'll end it.
All right, Brad. Way to... You've done a really good job of making this feel desperate, chaotic and dangerous.
Hella creepy.
Congratulations.
Mm-hmm.
You've done Delta Green. You've done a Delta Green.
This is so stereotypically Delta Green, and that like shit absolutely went down last session, and then this session we're just like dealing with the aftermath and nothing
reeling.
Has nothing happened. It's like the characters
that's
surviving
not
and dealing with it. What?
One of the characters now has 10 digits again. And that's true. I feel success. Like we can that's all agree that's a good thing. Yeah. Okay. Brad, thank you very much. Everyone listening, everyone watching, thank you for joining us. I'd like to give a special shout out to a brand new supporter for our Patreon, Atomic Scissors. Really good username, by the way. That made me chuckle. I don't know why. But thank you so much for joining us, for supporting us. It really helps. Like we talked about last time, like we have some, you know, some character art that we're getting done, and your Patreon help. It helps support us to host the podcast and pay the fees and to do stuff like that. So thank you so much for being there with us. We done for the day. We going off to do our sanity check. What do you guys think?
I gotta go.
Okay.
But it's just you.
I got you. Then. Okay. All right. Well, everyone listening, everyone watching, thank you so much for joining us. We will catch you next time. Again, Brad, just absolutely stellar. Thank you, Pumpkin. Thank you for catching us, even though it was a weird day. Pumpkin Cakes was with us today too.
Hey, Pumpkin Cakes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, and again, Atomic Scissors, thanks for joining us. They did say Atomic Scissors did say when talking about, I guess, Hairpin's setup, a ThinkPad X60 running Arc Linux. I don't know if that means anything to you.
Yep.
Is that classic? Is that some
shit? I would put some Kali Linux on that baby, but would have been close enough.
Here they go.
Dirty. Oh, we're in there. Yeah, wait, I don't even have my gloves on. Wait till we're there.
Yeah, where his finger in his gloves, you need them. All right, Brad, you want to take us out?
Yeah, guys. Great game. Thanks for playing. One else, stay safe and stay sane. Later.
Bye.